It feels good. Welcome again in the presence of the Lord. At this particular moment, I'd like to welcome my brother who will be preaching to us. This brother of mine, we have been friends for so long. And apart being friends, I got the opportunity to study at the same school of leadership, of church leadership with him in Nairobi. He's a good guy. He has what? And I always like to listen to him, and I hope you will like what he'll be sharing with us today. Brother Jeremy Ndabo, karibu sana.
Thank you very much, Serge. Yes. How are you today? Good morning. You all doing well? All right. We are going to pray, and then we'll proceed. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence. We are about to hear from you, and we pray that, Lord, you may open the eyes of our hearts so that you may speak to us, and so that the word that will be spoken may bring forth fruit and good fruit that will last and will help us to live for you. But I pray for myself. I pray that you may give me concision of speech, that you may give me clarity of mind and conviction of heart so that I may speak from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's an honor and a pleasure for me to stand before you this morning in order to share God's word with you this morning. A few years ago, I was scrolling online on X. Today it's called X, but formerly it was known as Twitter. And I saw a tweet from a Christian influencer who wrote this word. He said, "I want to be like Jesus in every way, but eating fish for breakfast is where I draw the line. I want to be like Jesus in every way, but eating fish for breakfast is where I draw the line." That's actually the passage that we are about to read this morning and where we will be drawing some lesson. It's about a breakfast that Jesus had with a few of his disciples, and they had fish for breakfast. We are in John chapter 21. We are going to read from verse 1 to 12. The Bible says, John chapter 21, from verse 1 to 12. "Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. 'I'm going out to fish,' Simon Peter told them, and they said, 'We'll go with you.' So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, 'It is the Lord,' he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish you have just caught.' So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples dared ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord." This is the word of God. This morning I want to speak on a topic that I shortened, and the topic for today is the answer to our need. The answer to our need. As we all know, we have many needs. There is actually a psychologist who tried to summarize the needs of human being in 7 in a certain hierarchy. I hope some of you know about the hierarchy of needs that Maslow came up with. He talked about physiological needs. These needs are air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, reproduction. He talked about safety needs. Those are needs that we have as well. This is personal security, employment, resources, health, property. He talked about love and belonging. We need friendship. We need intimacy. We need family. We need a sense of connection. He also talked about esteem, respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, freedom. All these are needs. He also spoke about self-actualization. He said, deep within every human being, there is a desire to become the most that one can be. There is a desire to become the most that one can be. Amen? But today I want to simplify this. I want to simplify this because I just want to speak about one primary need, and that's the need, physiological need, the need that we have of clothing, the need that we have of personal security, employment, and all these things. And I want to simplify because when I was thinking about this word and when I was looking at this passage today, I understood that one of the primary way that God gave us to actually supply to our need is work. Because everything that I've spoken about here needs a little bit of work to get a response or an answer to it. Everything that I spoke about. And here in this passage, we find the disciple of Jesus after his resurrection. I mean, they may be confused. There is a certain season of their life that seems to have come to an end. They've been walking with Jesus. They have seen the miracles he performed. And somehow, Jesus died and he resurrected, but he's appearing. It's one and off. He's appearing. Sometimes he's appearing, sometimes he disappears, so he's not permanently. Meanwhile, these guys have needs. They need to supply to their family, they need to eat, they need to live, right? And so Peter, who is a very outgoing guy, just decided that morning, that night, that evening, let's go fish. This is something that they've been doing for their whole life, okay? This is something that they've been doing for their whole life. And he decided to go back to eat because this is the work that he used to do. And this is our first point, actually, of this sermon. One of the answers to our need, one of the primary way that God gave us to answer to our need is through our work. So our first point this morning is get to work. Get to work. Can you tell your neighbor, get to work? Get to work, okay? Get to work. Why get to work? Because the God we serve is a working God. In Genesis, we see God working for 6 days in order to create the earth that we live in. This earth, he took time to fashion it so that life may be possible in it. We serve a working God. In his nature, in his very nature, we see this God. Even Psalms 19 says, when we look at the work of his hand, we have a sense of who this God is. So we serve a working God. Not only that, but this working God created us in his own image. So somehow in us, there is also that call to work, to be co-worker with God. Amen? And that's what Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says. Because in the beginning, God blessed us. That's what the Bible says. And said to us, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the bird of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So get to work. You want to supply to the needs that you have? I mean, one of the primary way that God gave us to supply to those needs is through the work that we are called to do. We are called to learn to work. Amen? And God gave us capacities. He gave us the creativity that we have to come up with ways to create values. And through that value, we also get something in return. Amen? We and to get something in return. So get to work. Get to work. That's our first point. The disciples did not just sit around waiting for Jesus to come back. They decided to go fish. They got to work. There is a passage in the Bible where Paul is talking about the will of God in our lives. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, this is the will of God for your life, your sanctification. But if you go forward and you keep reading, you see that in verse 11, he says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hand, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. I went to a Catholic school in high school, and we had a priest who used to tell us that work humanizes man. Work humanizes man. I mean, he used to say that, and the more I think about it, the more I understand that somehow, in order to be fully human, we also need to work. That's why you sometimes feel worthless. I'm sorry to say that word. When you don't have something to do, or when you are not proactive, when you are not expressing the creativity that God has given you, the ability that God has given you to do something, to change your environment, to provide for your family. So work is very important. It's one of the primary ways that God has given us to respond to our needs. So get to work, amen? Get to work. And what we see in this passage is that these guys, of course, they went out to work, but they didn't catch anything. This is what the Bible says in John chapter 21, verse 3. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They didn't catch anything. They worked all night long, but they didn't catch anything. And then the risen Christ appeared. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. So he called out to them, friends or fellows, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. Verse 6, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Second point of this message, it comes from verse 6, is submit your work to God. Submit your work to God. Why submit your work to God? We need first to understand what the word submit means. To submit means to accept or to yield to a superior force or to the authority or a will of another person. When Jesus came to his disciple that morning, he asked them a question. He asked them a question, haven't you caught any fish? When he's asking this question, it's not because he doesn't know that they didn't catch anything. It's because he wants them to acknowledge their insufficiency. He wanted them to acknowledge that they are not sufficient enough to provide to their own needs. Amen? Their skills, their abilities are not sufficient enough to provide to their own needs. This is one of the main, actually, doctrines in the Christian faith, is that we live a life of responsible dependence. There is on one side our own responsibility, but there is on the other side our dependence, total dependence on the providence of God. Amen? So when Jesus asked that question, he's asking for them. He's actually want them to get to that point where they understand that, yes, God gave us these abilities, but we can't do everything on our own. We can't do anything on our own. And I think one of the best passages in the Bible that explains this is Psalm 127, which says, unless the Lord build the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. Verse 2 of that same psalm says, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For the Lord, he grants sleep to those he loves. So it's not only hard works that gives us something in return. There is always a certain dimension of the grace of God that is there for our provision. Amen? That is there to help us have, you know, everything that we need in life. So it's like the two wings of a bird. On one side, we have our abilities, the abilities that God gave us. And on another side, we have the grace of God, the providence of God, which allow us to fly and to continue living. So in light of this, what should be our attitude? How do we submit our work to God? First of all, we need to have margin for God in our work. Do we pray for our work? There is a quote by Augustine that I think many of you know, but I want to share it with us again this morning. He said, "Pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on you." Pray as though everything depended on God, and work as though everything depended on you. So one of the first ways we submit is to have margin, space for God in our work. We pray. We ask God to guide us. Second thing is, we need to, when we want to give space for God, to submit our work to God, one of the other ways to do that is to infuse kingdom values into our work. Because when we look at the work sector, when we look at many companies, they don't have kingdom values. They don't have the integrity. They don't have the values of sacrificial service, the values of humility, the values of truth, the values of honesty. These are value, kingdom values that we are called to infuse into our work in order to show that indeed we submit to his word. Amen? Because that's what happened in this passage. The Lord spoke and the disciples obeyed. Obedience is infusing kingdom values into our work. It means we are going to work as the Lord has commanded us to do so. With honesty, with integrity, with truth for service. Because we are not only working for ourselves, we also want to serve the humanity. We want to serve our neighbors. Amen? So, third way that we submit our work to God is to give credit to God for our success. Who do you run to when you succeed? How do you celebrate your wins? Because that's what I see in this passage. Verse 7 says, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" After they caught that great quantity of fish, this guy understood that, wow, this can only be God. This can only be a favor from God that we have received in order to catch this many quantity of fish. And Peter, him, did not even wait when he heard that it was the Lord. He threw himself into the sea and swam to the shore in order to spend time with Jesus. So who do you run to when you succeed? That's the question we might ask ourselves this morning. How do we celebrate our wins? Because for many people, when they go from success to success, it is very easy to wander off and forget the Lord who in the first place granted us that success. So how do we submit our work to God? It's by giving him credit for our success. Giving him credit for our success. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 27 says, "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me.'" Verse 18, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefather as it is today." Amen. Remember the Lord who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Remember the Lord. Third thing that we see in this passage, and this I found from verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, Peter swam and he went toward Jesus, but when he found Jesus, there was something interesting there. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. This fish was not the fish that they caught. This is something that Jesus had already. This is fish that Jesus had already. This is something that they did not work for. Amen? This is not the fish that they caught. Jesus had already fish and some bread. And my third point this morning is work under grace. Work under grace. Because there is a type of food that we don't have to toil for. There is a type of food that we don't have to work for. And this is the one that grace has already provided. That even in our failure, there is provision. Because even if this guy didn't catch any fish that night, if they ran to Jesus that moment, they will still find him with something. They will still find him with something, with a food that they don't have to work for. This is the story of the gospel, that God in his mercy, in his grace, has already provided. Amen? Has already provided. And there are so many things that are proof to this principle. Because look at the air we breathe. Do we work for it? No. We don't work for it. Having good health, it's only by the grace of God. These are things that we don't work for. These are things that only are provided, that only the grace of God provides for us. The succession of seasons. It is the Lord who allows the crop to grow and to become the fruit that we enjoy. These are the things that the grace of God is providing. Amen? So work under grace. And when we understand this principle of grace, we work from a place of rest. We don't kill ourselves overworking, amen? We know that, well, we can do our part, but there is also a big part that the Lord is doing. I don't know if you ever seen this, you've ever seen it, but personally for me, I've seen it many times in my own life. There are days when you go out there, you work, but you don't get anything. But when you come back home, you just hear someone calling you and say, oh, you know, I remember that I owed you this. And right at that particular time, at the right time, that person just sends you exactly what you need for that moment. This is the principle of grace. So work under grace. Work under grace. Amen? Work under grace. This is the story of the gospel, and this is what actually helps us to not confuse our work with our identity. Because we are more than what we do. We are more than what we do. We are more than what we do. And ultimately, when we understand the grace of God, we also understand that the result of all our endeavors rests in the hands of God. Work under grace. Amen? Work under grace. So we are going to pray. And the prayer that we are going to do, I want us to read it together. And it's some of the last word of Psalms 90, a psalm that is attributed to Moses. And I just want us to stand up and to read this word as a prayer so that we may ask God to help us and to give us favor in everything that we are doing as he provides to our needs. So let's go together and read. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.
Can we just appreciate once more Brother Jeremy for this wonderful message? Thank you so much. Get to work, submit, work under grace.